Daniel chapter 8. God is amplifying, expanding, and reiterating his vision to Daniel. God is bringing more information and more explanation. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after the one that appeared to me the first time. I saw in the vision, and it so happened while I was looking, that I was in Shushan, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision that I was by the river Ulah. Then I lifted my eyes and saw, and there standing beside the river was a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but the one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. And verses 16 to 23, just to give us some clarification as to that horn, Daniel chapter 8, 16 to 23. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the river Ulah, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said to me, understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep, with my face to the ground. But he touched me and stood me upright. And he said, look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation, for the appointed time, the end, shall be. Indignation is an Old Testament word for the great tribulation. The ram, which you saw, having two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia, and the male goat is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn is between his eyes. The large horn that is between its eyes is the first. As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. From Daniel 8:20, we can see that the ram is the Medes and Persians. The ram which you saw having two horns, they are the kings of the Media and Persia. The ram having two horns, Daniel 8:3. But the one was higher than the other and came up last. It was the Persians that overshadowed the Medes. Today, this area is commonly referred to as the Persian Empire. No more mention of the Medes. Daniel chapter 8, verses 4, and we'll just go through this a verse at a time. I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward, so that no animal could withstand him, nor was there any that could deliver from his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. He did according to his will and became great. So this ram, this Persian Empire, became great because God was using it for his purposes. God was ruling and overruling through the Persian Empire. Although God has given man free will, God's sovereignty will never be thwarted by man's choices. Verse 5, and as I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west across the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. From verse 21, we can see that the male goat is the kingdom of Greece. This large horn between its eyes is its first king, and we know from history that this was Alexander the Great, and you know the mess that he made in the earth and in that area at that time. Daniel chapter 8, verses 6 to 7. The ram, Alexander the Great, conquers the Persian Empire in 330 BC and rules over Israel, continuing the time of the unbelieving Gentiles. Daniel 8, verse 8. Therefore the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven. We know from history that in that very year that Alexander the Great conquered the known world 330 BC, he died. Also, apparently, he died in Babylon, same place as Nebuchadnezzar. After the large horn was broken, four notable horns came up. Alexander the Great had no heir. He had no son who would take over to be king. So the kingdom of Greece was divided between his four generals. Each one of these generals received one quarter of the Greek empire. Because Israel was the center of the known world at that time, they were in essence the hub, and Greece was the wheel. There was one general to the north of Israel, one general to the south of Israel, one general to the west of Israel, and one general to the east of Israel. This verse, or the verse in Daniel 8, says that the notable horns came up toward the four winds of heaven. Daniel 8, verse 9. The little horn was coming out of the north. This is not the Antichrist. This is a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. Let me read that verse. And out of them came up a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. Again, this little horn was coming out of the north. This is not the Antichrist. This is a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. This little horn is not to be confused with the little horn in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. That horn is the actual Antichrist. So the vision is a little different, and there's a little more being revealed. Israel at this time is still surrounded by and in the midst of the third kingdom of the unbelieving Gentiles, which is, of course, Greece. This little horn has already lived and died. It was Antiochus Epiphanes. He was a Greek king in the third kingdom of the unbelieving Gentiles. Just for a little bit of underlining, so we can understand, again, a reminder. First, unbelieving Gentile kingdom, Babylon. Second one, Medes and Persians. Third one, Greece. And the fourth one, Rome. We are in Rome right now, at this period in time. God reveals the real Antichrist in Daniel 7, 8, through Daniel during the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon's reign. He then reveals the foreshadowing of the Antichrist in Daniel 8, 9, in the third year of Belshazzar's reign. Nebuchadnezzar, during the early years of his reign, was a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. Belshazzar was a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. And now Antiochus Epiphanes is yet another foreshadowing of the Antichrist. And there are many more foreshadowings of the Antichrist. Hitler himself is a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. All of this to bring repentance to God's people. All of this is showing God's mercy. All people are always able to repent at all times, no matter what the situation. Whether they do or not will depend upon each person. And each time they do not repent, God turns the heat up a bit more. So we have the foreshadowing telling people to watch out, because there is a time coming that if you don't repent, you will be not in good shape. All of this to bring repentance to God's people. All of this is showing God's mercy. God knows that without repentance, people will perish. And perishing means we're going to live forever separated from God. That's what it means to perish. It doesn't just become nothing. It's a separation from God forever. As we looked at last week and even the week before that Wally mentioned, it's God's will that none should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. God takes no pleasure in people's suffering, but is very close to people who suffer. Let's look at the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 11. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastising, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect? Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Hananiah, the prophet, he speaks these words to Asa, king of Israel, who was not known for listening to the Lord. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. That's from 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. God is looking for people to help. He wants to be their Savior, their Redeemer, their Savior, their friend. And his eyes are looking to and fro throughout the whole earth for people who will allow God to be their strength. And yet, one out of four, parable of the sower, only allow him to do that. It's a sad testament. He reigned, this Antiochus, he reigned from 175 BC to 164 BC. He is infamous for his brutal persecution of the Jews, which precipitated the Maccabean revolt. Antiochus Epiphanes was a ruthless and fickle ruler. He is properly named Antiochus IV, but he took upon himself the title Epiphanes, which means illustrious one, or God manifest. However, his bizarre and blasphemous behavior earned him another nickname among the Jews, Epimenes, which means mad one. Not mad in the sense of angry, mad in the sense of crazy. Note the little insignificant horns. God doesn't need powerful, influential, significant people to do his work. God is most clearly seen when he moves insignificant people to do very significant things. It was Major Ian Thomas that said of Moses, God took an old man with a stick and a stutter and delivered an entire nation. God is looking for willing people, willing to allow God to be strong, willing to allow God to be their wisdom, willing to allow God to guide and direct them. If God can do this in the lives of unbelieving Gentiles, who are only motivated by greed and the need for power, how much more does he and will he do through the lives of believers? Believers who realize that God is all they need because God is all they have. And if you're not sure that God is all you have, all you need is a really good trial to sort that one out. On those days when you can't change something, it won't change, and it needs to change, and you can't go any further. It's at that point you realize that God is all you have. And when you reach that point, that God is all you have, then you have his strength in all that he is. Just as an interesting aside to see how one empire will challenge another, and at times take over one another, an altercation between Antiochus Epiphanes and a Roman ambassador by the name of Gaius Papilius Lienus. When Antiochus brought his army against Egypt in 168 BC, Papilius stood in his way and gave him a message from the Roman Senate ordering him to stop the attack. Antiochus responded that he would think it over and discuss it with his council, at which point Papilius drew a circle in the sand around Antiochus and told him that if he did not give the Roman Senate an answer before crossing over the line in the sand, Rome would declare war. Antiochus decided to withdraw, as Rome had requested. It's believed this is where we get the saying to draw a line in the sand. But the most famous conflict connected to Antiochus Epiphanes is the Maccabean Revolt, which happened just a few hundred years before Christ. During that time of history, there were two factions within Judaism: the Hellenists, who had accepted pagan practices, and the Greeks and the Greek culture, and the traditionalists, who were faithful to the Mosaic Law and the old ways. Supposedly, to avoid a civil war between these two factions, Antiochus made a decree outlawing Jewish rites and worship, ordering the Jews to worship Zeus rather than Yahweh. He wasn't just trying to Hellenize the Jews, but to totally eliminate all traces of Jewish culture. Of course, the Jews rebelled against his decrees. So, obviously, a foreshadowing of the Antichrist wanting to just rule worldwide and eliminate all the Jews, something that Hitler tried as well. In an act of brazen disrespect, Antiochus raided the temple in Jerusalem, stealing its treasures, setting up an altar to Zeus, and sacrificing swine on the altar. When the Jews expressed their outrage over profaning of the temple, Antiochus responded by slaughtering a great number of the Jews and selling others into slavery. He issued even more draconian decrees. Performing the rite of circumcision was punishable by death, and Jews everywhere were ordered to sacrifice to pagan gods and to eat pig flesh. Israel was warned that without repentance their nation would be defeated, and they would spend 70 years in captivity in Babylon as a result. This was not punishment, this was discipline. This was the consequence of their ignoring God and his warnings through many prophets over many years. Isaiah the prophet, Jeremiah the prophet, Ezekiel the prophet, and many of the minor prophets were giving out the warnings. Ezekiel had an expression, and after God would do something, the expression was, "And then they will know that I am the Lord." Many times, and I believe it's 25 or so times in the book of Ezekiel, is that phrase, "And then they will know that I am the Lord." And so they actually knew what they shouldn't have been doing. They kept doing it, and they ended up 70 years captivity in Babylon, and that was a discipline, not a punishment. That was to bring them to their senses. That was to bring them back to their God. This is why all these things happen. We wonder about the things that happen in our lives. Why are they happen? Why do I have to go through this? All of these things are an opportunity to draw closer to the Lord. He has a message for us in all of these things, in all of the sufferings that we go through. And certainly in Israel at this time, these people that were the Lord had allowed to be persecuted by this beast, this Antiochus, all of these people, if they're walking with God, if they know the Lord, then they're fine. They'll be removed from the earth, but they're fine. But if these things happen to people and they don't know the Lord, then they perish. And again, to perish is to live forever separated from God. It's called hell. Today we don't like consequences, but God is watching us, just as he watched and is still watching Israel. There is always consequences, whether we're ready for them or not. Amen.